about 50 miles below Hancock. And I was about 16 years old. Whether they put in a large raft of wharf timber, or, as we called it in this country, toggle timber. And I bored holes in the logs. That was my work.
What was toggle timber?
Well, that's this wharf timber.
It's used for.
Yes, that's all it's used for. And that was my business of boring holes in the logs, to fasten the lash poles on, and for to hold the bows. And we rafted the big raft, went down the river onto it.
Well, before you begin to get into all of that, I wonder if everyone understands the terms you've used there. Lashing the logs together and lash poles and the various terms you use there. Maybe you could explain them just in a word.
Well, there a lash pole is a pole cut about 3.5-4 inches through. They calculate to cut them long enough, if they can, to reach across the raft. And then they bore the holes in the log about 5.5 inches apart. Bore them in the timber 6 inches deep. And then they put in what they call a rafting bow. It has a knob on the lower end of each side of it. Then they drive a plug down in there, which drives that lower end of that bulge in the bow into the timber. And that holds the lash pole down. It draws it down tight and holds it down so the logs can't pull out or come apart.
This is the only way you used of tying a raft together.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that's the only way we used tying the raft together. That is, at that time.
You didn't have any spikes or any nails?
No spikes and no nails. The last raft I rafted and run down the river, we fastened it with horseshoes. We took old horseshoes and had the blacksmith to draw them out so they were sharp, and then drove them in over the lash pole in the same position that we would have plugged bow in a plug. And that was the last rafting that they done. They got so they used horseshoes. They used to have big piles of horseshoes, and they'd have them sharpened around the blacksmith shops and drive them in. It saved a lot of hard work of boring the logs, saved a lot of hard work of making the bows, and it was much quicker.
Where did you go on your, the trip you were telling about, where did you go? What was your course down the Delaware?
Well, it was from Marlinville straight into...
Was that to Trenton?
Trenton. Straight into Trenton, uh-huh. Yes. There's where, as far as we run, was into Trenton, see.
Did you ever run into Philadelphia?
No, I never did. Mm-hmm. No, I never did. They used to run into Philadelphia. That is, when the tide was going out sometimes, they run into Philadelphia. But not very much. They sold most all their stuff in Trenton, New Jersey.
Where would you sell the logs? Would a buyer come out
yes,
to your buyer, raft?
Yes, the buyers from Philadelphia come there and bought the logs.
So every raft was broken up in Trenton there and sold
yes.
to a buyer who
yes,
came out?
Yes, they were sold to a buyer. A man come in, if you had maybe, the company had maybe a dozen or 15 rafts, he probably would buy all them rafts, whether there was logs or sawed lumber or whatever there was. He would buy the raft, all they had, see, he'd buy it. And then that was all taken out, or perhaps tugged from there into Philadelphia, wherever their mills was, where it was sold there and sawed up into house building timber and such as that.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, I think. What kinds of timber did you take down the Delaware from Marina, New York, to Trenton, New Jersey,
well,
for sale in Philadelphia?
We took down hemlock, took down some hard maple, took down ash, and took down basswood.
Bass is soft.
Huh?
Bass is soft, isn't it?
Yes, basswood
is
soft wood.
It's tough. Yes.
It's tough wood. Much mm-hmm. tougher than hemlock.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I wonder if you think you've given enough details on how you made rafts so that people, would, not seeing one, get a general idea.
Why, I should think it would.
I was very pleased when I came up here this year and saw that you had made a small model of a raft. because that filled in all the chinks that I had in my mind about the materials we went over last year when we were discussing this. That's a very interesting model. Is there anything you think of that you'd like to say about that model?
Nothing in particular any more than, of course, the model that I made. The model that I made is just the one bow to show how it was built over the end, see? You know, there's one bow in the raft, in that little raft.
That little raft. That's very interesting because it makes it very clear.
See, that is to show them how the big raft was made. Of course, the rest of it is nailed. But the oars and the pin where the oar hangs on is the same as always went on the big raft, excepting they're small.
Yes, I can realize that. Well, now, on these, I think you should tell us about your last raft that went down from Arena on the Delaware. But I would like to know first about any experiences you think of. For example, did you ever see rafts that lost their timbers, or that smashed up, or that collided with another raft, or any such experience?
Yes, well, I've seen a great many rafts that was broken up, where some of them missed, where they broke up again bridge piers, and where they run out onto heads of islands and rifts.
What year did you begin rafting? How old were you?
16.
You were 16 years old. And for how many years did you raft?
16, 4 is 20, and 6 years.
About 6 years. And then rafting came to an end. There were no more rafts in the arena.
No more rafting in the arena. Very little on the river anyway. Very little. Very few rafts.
Oh, that raises another point. Your father rafted before you.
Oh, yes. He rafted before me and was down the river probably 50 to 100 times.
Mm-hmm. Over a span of how many years would that
be? Well, that would be over a span of years, probably. He was, I think, somewhere around 20.
When he began?
When he began, and he rafted, even went down the river after he had just a wooden leg. Mm-hmm. He went down the river many times.
How did he lose his leg?
In the rebellion between the North and South.
Oh, in the Civil War?
In the Civil War.
Oh, I see.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
In the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he couldn't wear an artificial leg. He couldn't wear an artificial leg, and he made his own legs, made his own wooden legs.
Out of hemlock?
No, he made them out of basswood.
Out of basswood?
Out of basswood. And he would walk on that leg, go anything. Always worked in the woods and lumbered it and everything with oxen and always with that leg. He made that leg.
Did he raft with that leg?
Yes, he rafted that leg, and he worked on the raft of the leg, went down the river with it.
Well, that's interesting indeed.
Yeah.
Well, now going back to your thoughts about things that you saw on the river in the various times you rafted down from Arena, I asked you if you ever saw any smash-ups, and then I interrupted again.
Yes, I saw a great many smash-ups. I saw them on the Big River more. It was mostly on the Big River from Hancock.
You mean on the Delaware itself?
On the Delaware, yes. Most of the smash-ups was on the river between Hancock and Trenton. And so much rough water and everything, and some of the steersmen they were steersmen, but they wasn't equal to some of the others, and they'd get too far up on a bridge pier or something, smash up into it, split the raft up, tear it to pieces. And you see, there's lots of water. There was foul rift. It's very swift. Well, and then there's right below that's what we used to call a cellar hole. They call it Butler's now. And there's another bad place. Well, then you go just below that, and there's Sawmill Rift. And many a raft has got busted up on that Sawmill Rift bridge pier.
How many men did you ever see hurt or killed?
I never saw any hurt. I never saw any killed on the river.
Well, does that mean that, to the best of your knowledge, or that you actually know that there were none killed rafting?
Yes, that.
You would say that you never knew.
I
of a
never
man
knew
who was
of
killed.
any being killed, or any of them hurt.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I imagine that. People probably have the idea that a great many were hurt or killed.
Yes, well, there was none hurt, there was none killed.
Uh-huh.
There was that I ever knowed of or heard of or remember of. And my father's and my uncle's was raftmen, and never heard of one being killed or hurt or anything of that kind.
Well, that's interesting to know.
Yeah.
George Edwards, you said a little bit about what you were doing and what your various work was up here. What did you ever know about rafting?
All I ever knew was just what they called a cove. They put that in the harbor on the stream there. I brought some of the logs in.
That was putting a raft together?
Yeah, putting a cove together.
Yes.
Well, they was going down East Bay with the cove. Took a couple arms, eh? And I drove some of those logs in there.
You were a teamster, so
yeah.
You drove the logs in there,
yeah,
so they could be rafted.
And I thought I rode a log right down to the raft. They could ride them with a pipe pole on them raftmen. Right along, no matter how fast it went or how many times it turned over, you'd see on the log. So that was fun to me to see him do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first I ever saw, and the only after I ever.
But you never went down the Delaware?
Never went on a raft in my life.
Well, how many jobs did you have besides singing songs in the Catskills?
Well, I wasn't really in the Catskills then.
No, you weren't then.
No.
Well, you've learned a good many since.
Well, in fact, I've sung songs ever since I've been 6 years old.
Ever since you can remember, yeah. Well, now, Art, going back
George,
to...
George, if you was in Harvard, you was in the Catskills. If you're in Rockland, you're in the Catskills.
Yes, it's an awful territory.
Yes, it's an awful
right.
territory, but
yes,
you
sir.
Are in the Catskills.
Yeah.
You see, the Catskill Mountain runs a good many miles down this river. The Catskill Mountains run clean to the Water Gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Catskill Mountain.
Well, now, not walking, but what do they call Hardenburg Patton?
Hardenburg Patton?
Mm.
Well, the only thing I know is it's always called the Hardenburg Patton.
Yeah.
Well, what
yeah.
was this?
Well, that,
oh,
you see,
the
King of England granted Patton so many hundred acres from the Hudson River over, clean over through to the Tidewater. And then there was another estate they called the Williams Estate.
Well, this was pre-revolutionary. This
yes.
was before the Revolutionary War.
Yes, that's before the Revolutionary
yeah.
War. And they call that the Hardenburg Patton. The one that comes to it now runs through just the other side of Andes. That's a Williams patent. There was Williams and the Hardenburg patent.
Did you know we were going to see a play about that tonight? About the Hardenburg? I think it's about the Hardenburg patent. Yes, so that's very
well,
interesting.
That's an awful fair
so
fair
you'll
boy.
See that tonight. Now I'd like to go back to what you were saying about rafting. I would like to know if there are any further incidents you think of. Like a crack-up or a smash-up or anything you can tell us about that phase of rafting?
Well, the only thing particular that I can tell about that or know about it, that they used to get once in a while thrown out in the river or something like that.
What about the time you were thrown out?
I myself one time went down what they call Shaver's Turn. That's about five or six miles below Arena. We struck a root there, tore out three or four logs out of the one side, and I jumped over one way as they come around, and I hadn't any more.
It's what come around?
The oar. It's
the
oar come around.
This is what you steered the raft with.
Yes, that's what you
and
steered.
And there was one
the
on front and one on the
on
rear.
One on front and one on behind. And when I jumped over the oar, I hadn't any more and jumped over the oar, for it struck me and knocked me about 30 feet out in the river. When the raft come around, I'd come up and climb on the hind end of the raft. But we landed in the eddy just below there, and next morning gathered up our logs and put them back and went on down the river.
Uh-huh. Could you get them all back in?
Oh, yes.
You could?
Yes, we got them all back in. Yeah. Every one of them.
But you never saw a man drowned or
never saw
hurt,
a man drowned
seriously.
Or hurt or anything.
Uh-huh.
No.
That's very interesting. Well, now, I would like to hear you say a little bit about the last rafting trip that went from Marina down the Delaware. This is interesting.
Well, the last raft was 59 years ago.
That would be 1889, right?
Yeah, 1889.
What part of the year?
It was in long in April.
April.
Four
mm-hmm.
part of April.
Mm-hmm.
And we rafted that. That was basswood logs. We rafted at Arena and run it to Trenton, New Jersey. That's the one I got knocked in the river on.
Well, what about your trip down on that last rafting trip? Was that pretty typical of each trip that you had taken? Was it pretty much the same?
Well, just about the same,
just
yes.
About the same.
Just about the same, yes.
Were you sorry it was the last trip that you were taking?
Yes, I was sorry at the last trip I was taking.
You liked rafting?
I liked rafting. It was pleasure. It was pleasure to be on a raft. Of course, sometimes it was very cold and raw, rainy and such things as that, but when it was nice weather, it was a beautiful trip. The sights to see along that Delaware River is the most wonderful things you wouldn't think that was even in the United States, that is, this part of the country.
Well, for example, through the water gap, the Delaware water
gap.
Yes,
the water gap.
That's one of the sights.
And way above the water gap, to Carr's Rock and Death Eddy and them places. The rocks has run up there probably 150 to 200 feet high. And nothing but a smooth face of rocks. Well, then when you go down, there's a place down just below Port Jervis that they call the sheep pasture. Always the old Rapman called it the sheep pasture. Well, there's probably 4 or 5 miles down the river. It's nothing but a gray rock, just a smooth gray rock back as far as you can see, right steep, not too steep, but what you can walk up it or walk on it. And it's all full of crevices. And in them crevices, it's all a little evergreen grows up about 2 or 3 feet high, and all shapes and all forms. Some of it's 10 acres, some of it is a quarter of an acre, and some of it ain't bigger than a small room all over that sheep pasture.
It must have been wonderful to see that going down on the raft.
It is wonderful to
see.
Well,
I wanted to ask you another question. How long did it take to go from Marina, this is on an average, how long did it take to go from Marina down to Trenton?
About, if a good luck, it took about 5 days.
Five days. Just on an average.
On an average.
Sometimes you were
sometimes a little ahead of it, and sometimes it took a little long. If you had good luck, good decent weather, so you could run, at about 4 days and a half, you could run it. But at average, about 5 days.
I'd like to hear you say something about the calls you used, because I think those will be of real interest to people.
Yeah, well,
you told about calling Pennsylvania, Jersey,
yeah,
and so on.
You see,
would you tell what they're about?
Yes, that's it. Now, if they wanted the raft, to pull the far end of the raft on the far oarsman, if they wanted to pull Jersey, if they wanted to go full Jersey, you know, they'd holler Jersey. Well, then the man would dip
it. That means toward Jersey.
That means to dip your oar so as to pull it towards the Jersey shore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you hollered Pennsylvania, then you dipped it to pull your raft towards the Pennsylvania shore.
Were there any other calls that you used?
No, that's all there was.
Those were the only two.
That's
the
only was. Jersey or Pennsylvania.
I see.
Mr. Slack, I wonder, from your mentioning the point on a Delaware called Old Butler's, I wondered whether you'd ever run into this rafting song that we picked up. It was supposed to be about Big Mose, who's a famous character around those parts, or so I've been told. And the song goes like this. We swung around Old Butler's, no danger did we fear, until we came to Sawmill Rift and went plumb against the pier. Then there's a chorus, and shore around the grog boys, a chorus round the room, for we're the boys that fear no noise, although we're far from home.
That's correct.
You ever heard that song?
Yes, I've heard it. And
maybe
I'm going to tell
sing
you,
it.
Boney Quillen made up that song.
Boney Quillen made it?
Boney Quillen made that song up. Boney Quillen himself made that song up. This fellow might have had the song. I've heard, that is the truth. That is very true. Boney used to do that, you know. He used to make up them songs, and he'd make up wonderful songs. He'd just make them up, and most always, the biggest part of his songs was all made up on Boney.
Mm-hmm.
But then make him up about himself, you know.
Can you sing this song? Do you remember how it goes?
Well, that's all I can remember of it. Is that, well, I remembered that I had to hear when I first come here. You see, Butler's, now wait a minute. When Butler's is what we call the cellar hole, see? Now, and they call that Butler's, and a lot of them call it the cellar hole. Well, you see, Butler's, that's after you pass the Sawmill Rift and you get down to cellar hole or Butler's. And there's a raft went down the river one time, the slope wall, a high slope wall. The rail, Erie Railroad, runs right along the edge of the river there, up probably 30 to 40 feet. And it's slanting like this, and it's on this turn like this, see? Raft went down here one time, struck that wall, and slid up to the top of the wall, so one of the head oarsmen stepped off on the ground, and she slid off, went back in the river, and he was on the raft.
Well, that's the place that's mentioned in this song.
Yeah. That's a place that's mentioned in this song, yeah.
Well, I've got just a little bit left of it, but we got this from a Mrs. R.L. Wheelock, who I think lives in Hancock.
Yes, I don't doubt it.
And she says it's an old rafting song of the Delaware River. She says it was sung by Boney Quillen,
yeah,
and it was used at dancing parties and gatherings.
Yeah.
Also, that it had a lot of verses originally, but...
Oh, yes, it had a lot of verses. It was quite a long song.
Yeah. There's one more verse here. It goes like this. There was a man upon the raft, his name it was Big Mose. He hopped around among the logs and saved most all our clothes.
Yeah, I've heard it. Oh, I've heard it when I was a... Yes, and you know, listen, gentlemen, if I'd have known what I know now, I could have had hundreds of old songs, as you might say, but I wasn't a singer, and I never paid no attention to them or nothing. All them songs, I've heard that song sung clean through time and time and again. A great song it was. It was a nice song, too.
Yeah, it was a nice song.
And he used to make up, Boney used to make up all them things. And I know one time he went up to Hancock. And he went up after a wagon from Bill Hulbert. Bill sent him out the wagon. Well, the wagon wasn't done. And he made up a song about that, about Boney's going to Hancock after a wagon. And when he came back, his whippletress was a dragon. And it was all about Boney. It's a great song, you know. And he was always full of all them things, but he could make up a great song about it.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yes.
If you remember this. I wanted to ask you a few more questions about rafting. I asked you about the cries, when they yelled Jersey or
yes.
Pennsylvania.
Yes.
You say there were no others that you remember.
No, that's the only ones there was. That's mm-hmm. all there was on the...
Now I'd like to ask a couple of questions about how you lived when you came down on a raft. After all, a man on a raft for 5 days, he can't live on a raft for 5 days
no.
without
well,
eating or sleeping or whatever you do in living. What about those
well, before, aspects of it? Before the raft, every raft, before it started, they had what they called a dinner box. It was a big box about 3 foot square and maybe 3 or 4 foot high. They cooked up ham, boiled eggs, and had their bread, and like of that, and they had enough in that dinner box to calculate to keep 4 or 5 men from the time they started till they got to Trenton.
How many days?
5 days.
4 or 5 days supply of food.
Yeah.
Was that for 3 meals a day?
That was no. That's practically only for dinner.
That's the noon meal.
That's the noon meal.
Not breakfast or supper?
No, breakfast and supper. We always had landing places and tied up, stayed all night, and at breakfast and supper.
Oh, that's another point that we didn't have before. You tied up and stayed by the side of the river overnight while you slept.
Yes, hotels, you know, or someplace like
that. So that would explain more easily why it took 5 days.
Yes.
Because if you kept on going, it's probably around 200 miles, isn't it?
Yeah.
From Marina to Trenton, but... If you kept on going, it would seem that 5 days was a very long time to get there.
Yes, but you can't run at night.
But
you can't run a raft at night.
You've
got to have daylight to run your raft.
Of course.
You can't run it at night.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, they would... There's all these places where they stayed, all these places, they would be a big eddy. Somebody had a hotel there. I don't know whether they built it for raftmen or what they built it for, but in were these eddies where they could land. And they'd land there, get their supper, stay all night, eat their breakfast, and at noon, they went to the dinner box.
Yes, now, you said cooked up ham and boiled eggs. What other foods did they carry
well,
in the dinner
box?
Well,
they carried just...
Bread?
Bread. Bread and butter.
What about grog?
They didn't carry no grog on the raft.
They didn't carry
grog? No, if they got grog, all the grog they drank would be at at the hotel where they stopped.
So they could sleep it off.
Could sleep it off or something like that. And lots of times, now the last time I went down the river, you couldn't get none to the hotel. The last time I went down the river, we stopped at two or three different places. And I spoke to different towns or different counties. And they didn't have no license. We couldn't get it. That is, they didn't sell it, but they got it just the same. It was got, but after all, it was got on the sly.
Well, now let's see. That also has a point. I was interested in your telling about how you went down, how you lived. Did you always stop and sleep in a hotel or a boarding house or
yes,
something else?
Yes,
every night.
Every night.
Now, how did you moor the raft? Is that the word you used? What did you call it? When you tying it up or mooring
it?
Well,
when we tied it up, we had them two. We had either to a lash pole. If it was a log raft, it was to a lash pole. If it was a sawed lumber raft, the rope was a 2-inch hemp rope. They called them a rafting rope. And they'd pull into shore far enough that they could throw that rope into shore. Well, there was generally a man that was pretty good at that. He'd jump ashore, and there was always trees along the shore where they tied up. He'd grab that rope and run up around that tree. It'd be thrown off the front end of the raft, and by the time that raft, he got the rope around the tree, he'd go around the tree a couple of times, see?
And wouldn't that jerk it terribly when it caught up
no,
like that?
No, I'll tell you. No, not when it caught up, because when that begun to come down so it was tight, he rendered that rope out.
He let it
slide. He let it go around that tree. You see, it was a couple turns around the tree, and keep easing it out until the raft stopped. And then they tied it up.
Well, that's a clear explanation of how you did it.
Yeah.
Then you lay over there until the next morning.
Yeah, lay over there until the next morning.
How many hours would you continue rafting? Between, you stopped overnight.
Yes.
Now, what time would you stop? At dark?
Yes.
You'd be up the next morning
yes.
at sunlight,
yes.
At daybreak?
Yes.
And you'd begin again?
Begin again down the river.
You'd get your breakfast before, right when it was getting
yes,
light?
Yes, our breakfast was ready, and we had our breakfast, and as soon as come light, we untied the raft and was on it and going on down the river. Mm-hmm. And we run unless it
this
was
in April, for example, when the season began.
Yeah.
So then you had about, you had how many hours of daylight that you
had? Well, we had hours of daylight probably.
From 7 in the morning?
Yes, from
until
4 that.
6 to 7 at night,
yes.
Or even longer?
Yes, 12 to 14 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So multiplying that by 4 took about 48 hours. 48 to 56 hours to take a raft from Arena down
yes.
to Trenton.
Yes.
Well, that sounds more logical than to think of going four and a half or five full days.
Yes.
Because 200 miles would seem pretty slow if you did it, you know, that way.
Well, you know, this place is now like, this place is very swift. Now you take Sawmill Rift, that's 3 miles long. Well, you take a Scantlin raft, that's a sawed lumber raft. They used to call them Scantlin rafts. You see, it'll run that 3 miles in about 4 minutes.
That's very fast.
Four minutes. It'll run that. And there's lots of rifts and very swift water between our place and Trenton. Very swift.
And Mr. Slack, what would you do in case of a heavy downpour during the day when you were on the raft?
Go right along.
You just stay there?
Just stay right there and go right on. We never went off the raft or landed or anything of that kind until night. No matter how hard it rained or even I've seen it when it snowed, and it snowed mighty hard. Just wore when we was rafting, we just wore our common clothes excepting overhauls. We always wore overhauls. Generally a pair of our underclothes, a pair of pants, regular pants, and a pair of overhauls. And very seldom had anything more than our shirts on and a blue jean wrapper.
You told about one time having to pull the raft up to the shore and stay overnight while you dried your clothes beside a fire.
Yes, well that's
would you tell about that again?
Yes, well that's when I got thrown in at Shaver's Turn. see. And we went, landed, went over across the flat, and stayed all night at the house. Just as wet as I went in the river, you can imagine how wet I was. And come out, stood around the stove and dried the clothes on. What they got dry, next morning got up, they wasn't all dry, but chucked them on, and away we went again.
What did you wear for your feet? Some kind of shoes or boots?
No, boots.
Boots. Were those high boots that came up to
your... They were high boots, high leather boots, see.
And they came up to your knees?
Yes, close to.
There's one more point we need to get a completely rounded story on rafting on the Delaware. We haven't said a word about what you earned, what your wages were. Could you tell us something about that?
Yes, the wages ran anywhere from $10 to $15.
Is that a day?
That's for the trip.
For the whole trip?
For the whole trip.
For 5 whole days?
5 whole days, excepting the steersman. The steersman got $25 for running a raft down the river. And the men depended now on the season. If it was late in the season when we used to have an August fresh and rafts laid over, if we didn't get them down the river.
What was a fresh?
Why, the fresh was the high water, rain, fresh in the river, where it raised the water to the full banks. It's easy to run.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wages were generally a little higher, mounted up to anywhere from 12 to 15. But in the spring of the year, it ran from $12 to $15 for a trip down the river.
That seems like pretty low pay.
Well,
for such heavy work.
It's low pay, it is heavy work, but wages was very small then. Wages was only $1 a day, and if you boarded yourself, it was $1.50 a day. And so wages were small at that time, very small. And that's the reason why that I suppose they didn't get any more, because wages wasn't any higher.
Yes, how many trips could you make a year?
Well, sometimes they never made only one trip a year, unless there was rafts laid over until the August fresh. You used to count on an August fresh. And then there was another trip made down the river on the rafts that was left over that didn't get down in the spring. But otherwise, we used to have to go sometimes to East Branch. There's many trips made to East Branch. They'd go to East Branch for the raft, get off from it, walk back to Arena.
How many miles?
It's 30 miles.
30 miles, huh?
And walk back to Arena, get on another raft, and go down to East Branch where they could get enough to lash them together to make a double raft and go on down the river.
How long would a double raft be?
Why, a double raft would be anywhere from 75 feet to 125 feet long. And very seldom there was as long as that. There was very seldom that about 75 to 90 feet for a double raft was a good length raft.
Well, that pretty much rounds up the story. Thanks very much, Mr. Slack.
You're welcome.